for the mixed up open there to the show, but we are live. It is Monday. It is October the 23rd. The market is open, and we are off to a fresh start for the week. It's going to be a very big week of earnings with a lot of tech companies reporting. And, you know, the earnings picture remains good for the market, despite the fog of war and despite the interest rates, which have been spiking. We're going to talk about that in a bit. The Dow right now is down 56 points. It was down a whole lot more at the open, but it has come back. It's at 33,071 right now. The S&P 500 is down 7 points. At 42.17 right now. NASDAQ down 31. It was down about 109 here not too long ago. NASDAQ's down just 31 right now to 12,952. Small caps down 0.5%. Crude oil down 79 cents to 87.29.
And that sticky 10-year.
And the 10-year, but you know what? It was over 5, I guess, at some point before the market opened.
That's true, yeah.
It's down to 4.95, so I think it's going to stop at 5. You know, look, that's a pretty strong ceiling, pretty strong resistance. We shall see. Okay, so here we are. We start off a new week in the market. I wrote quite a bit in my newsletter over the weekend about what the market is fighting right now. You know, it's not always clear sailing in the market, but my North Star has always been earnings. And the problem is, you know, when the wind comes up on the ocean and the fog moves in, you forget about that North Star, and sometimes that happens to the market.
Well, the market saw something where, in terms of return, right, and correlation, that essentially it's one of the highest it's been in decades. But it's, you know, basically about 70% of the market, you know, equity return right now is tied to interest rates. So
yes, absolutely. And I did see this morning that Bill Ackman, who's got a big mouth. I mean, he is a media whore, in my opinion. He loves the media. But he has managed money for a long, long time. He's had a short bet on U.S. Treasuries. He's covering that short bet on U.S. Treasuries. Because, you know, look, logic would say with all of the noise in the world, and I'm talking mostly about the war in Israel, that's usually a cause for a flight to safety, not the dumping of bonds. And I've come to the conclusion, and I think I backed it up with some charts over the weekend, that it's been our government using this flight to safety to unload bonds from their balance sheet and to issue an abundance of bonds, which continues to bring a lot of supply to the market. So this is totally opposite of what should be happening in the bond market. But I just have to guess, eventually the selling is going to exhaust itself. Interest rates are going to cool off, and the market's going to return its focus to earnings, which we're going to do here today in a little bit.
Well, supply is why the corporate bond market, right, has held up, you know, much better than the U.S. Treasury market, and you know, because issuance is actually down, so you have the reverse effect on the corporate side in terms of less supply and more demand. So, which you've had, you know, which is why rates haven't moved nearly as much in that particular part of the
market. Well, every Friday, you know, I update our bond, our individual corporate bond fund. It's hardly moved at all. And, you know, in relation to the treasuries,
right,
they are totally disconnected one from another. So it's all about issuance and selling of treasuries, not corporate bonds, treasuries that are impacting this interest rate. So we had a bad week. We had the worst week since late September. We don't really have any nothing really new on the war in Israel, other than it just seems like any day they're going to go in there and take out Hamas as best they can with those little collateral damage. I don't know how you do that. That's awfully difficult. But I got to imagine in the meantime, there's some heavy-duty negotiations going on over hostages, and I don't know.
A couple,
what else?
You had, what, a daughter and mother, what, American released over the weekend?
Two,
right?
Of them. Yeah. That's it, just two. So anyways, last week, you know, I'll tell you where the damage is really being done. The real estate sector, the REITs are just getting pounded. They're interest rate sensitive. They were down another 4.6% last week. And, of course, you know, tech was down another 3%. Now, I think with the earnings on tap this coming week, we'll go through the calendar. I think eventually we're going to see the market return its focus, as it always does, despite all the noise out there. To earnings. We had a 5-year print on the 10-year this morning. That's the first time we've seen that since 2007. And we have some deals in the market today. The market is taking advantage of some fairly low valuations right now. The forward PE on the S&P 500 goes down to 17.5 today. And that's at the lower end of the long-term averages. So that's also a favorable number popping up in favor of the bulls in the market. Chevron, that's a big deal. I mean, they are buying Hess in a $53 billion deal. Now, the interesting part, that's not very much of a premium to where Hess is now. It's like 10 bucks a share. Because I think there's a lot of risk there that the regulators are going to take a long look at that, right?
Yeah.
And of course,
As long as they don't get rid of the Hess sign, I'm okay with the deal.
Yeah, and then a couple of weeks ago, you had ExxonMobil taking up Pioneer Natural Resources. That's another big deal. Then you've got Roche today acquiring Telavant for $7.1 billion. Which adds a new bowel disease therapy to their pipeline, okay? And, you know, the reason I bring up Telavant, the guy that's running for president, what's his name? Ramaswamy. I can't get his name. But anyways, he's Roivant. His company is R-I-O-V, Roivant Sciences. They're going to acquire... Roche is going to acquire one of his companies, so he gets richer. I'm sure he's got some interest in that deal. And then there's one other deal. I've watched Textainer over the years. They're a container firm. You see all these containers on these ships.
Oh, yeah.
They rent them out.
Charleston, yeah.
Yeah, and I see that it's going to go private, I guess. A private equity firm is going to take out them. Okay, when we come up back, the stock market is all about what? It's all about earnings, 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 with some interest rates thrown in there. But we're going to focus on earnings when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The bond market stabilizing today, 4.93 after at some point this morning going over 5. It would seem like Bill Ackman's news of him covering his short. You know, I mean, there is another possibility, Barry, but I don't think it's – I think it would take a lot to short the bond market and move it one way or another, right?
Certainly. I mean, that's a that bet hasn't been hasn't been a winner for a long time. I mean,
yes.
In terms of where treasuries were and in terms of how at least seemingly control the Fed had over them.
Yeah.
Right. I think this big issuance glut has really been thrown a bunch of supply
too.
All at one time, and it just takes it like we were talking about. This past week in Detroit, it takes a while for the market to, the market's a sponge, right? And it takes, if you have a big spill, right,
yeah.
It takes a while for that, that sponge to soak everything up. And you know, I think certainly there's appetite there still. I think
with all the risk in the world, that
right.
is the flight to safety is
yeah.
U.S. Treasuries.
I think
the
there's
dollar.
Just too much. You just get too much supply at the moment, and it takes a little while to shake out. Because, like I said, I was looking to the bond market, the corporate bond side of things, where you almost have an opposite effect.
Yep.
And that's why you haven't seen as much move in rates. So you kind of look at it, and it's the supply factor.
So what has that done? It's brought the multiple of the market down to 17.5, which is bullish. It looks like the Nasdaq's getting ready to go positive here, which is bullish. Earnings, 16% of the companies have now reported. I have seen, no major downside surprises. The guidance for next year is still intact, at least as of now. We've got another 84% of earnings companies to go, and there has been no change to the 2025 estimates. Today we get, not a big day today, Cleveland Cliffs, a few others, nothing really of any consequence. But tomorrow it gets big, all right? Call it Tech Tuesday, www.wednesday, Tech Thursday. Alphabet reports tomorrow. Alphabet will be a very big report. We'll get an update on their AI efforts and the company that they're competing with in AI, who seemingly has an edge on them right now. Microsoft will be reporting on Tuesday. We'll get an update on their ChatGPT. Efforts. General Electric will report on Tuesday, along with Verizon, Visa, Coca-Cola, 3M, General Motors, Raytheon, Teladoc, Halliburton, Waste Management, Spotify, Kimberly-Clark. Okay. So
that's quite a sample. Right.
Get rusted up from Tuesday. Get ready for Wednesday when a Facebook Meta Platforms, the company formerly known as Facebook, will report. Boeing will report. I talked to one of my friends from Boeing yesterday. I said, you got a lot of planes there lined up for delivery. He says, I know. We just got to get them delivered. I don't know what that means, if they have to go through one last check before they get delivered. But he says they're clearing the pipeline and things should start rolling a little better there. Also on Wednesday, IBM. ServiceNow, General Dynamics, Baker Hughes, a very important oil service company, KLA Corp, a very important semiconductor company. And then don't get too passive there on Thursday, because Amazon is going to report, still one of the very biggest reports every quarter. Intel's going to report. Ford Motor Company is going to report. We'll get their update. Here's a little story, just a little quick story on Ford. I talked to a guy yesterday that owns a Ford Lightning, and he bought it in the early days of the release when they were sky-high price. He says you could hardly give them away right now. His price on his value of his Ford Lightning has dropped substantially. Anyway, Moe will report, that's Altria. Merck will report, Bristol-Myers, MasterCard. Southwest Airline, Chipotle's always a big one. Boston Scientific, Harley Davidson. So fasten your seatbelt. I would just say this about this week. This is my theme for the week, and I announced it in the newsletter. The focus is going to return to earnings. And I'm working on an article right now for Seeking Alpha. Hopefully we'll have it out by tomorrow on why I think the focus will return to earnings, but more importantly, where that focus will lead us. Are they going to say, oh, earnings don't look very good going forward? Or will they say, hey, earnings, look pretty good despite all of the noise in the world today? Well, the Magnificent Seven, pretty much other than NVIDIA and Apple, all reporting this week. Which of the Magnificent Seven should be your top portfolio holding? And don't forget Tesla. So it's Tesla, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, NVIDIA. They have driven much of the return. And let's not forget Meta, which is also in there. They've driven much of the return here in 2023. I talked a lot about that in our individual meetings with folks. And, I mean, that's an argument. That's a strong argument against buying the Total World Stock Fund that owns 5,000 stocks. When all of the action in the market here has been driven by seven large U.S. stocks. And, you know, one of the things I compare my portfolios with, and as far as performance goes, is with that Total World Fund. Because that's a very popular investment strategy to just buy the Total World Fund, VT, and let it ride.
A little bit of everything.
Well, we've clobbered VT. You know, it and the S&P 500 has clobbered VT. That points to a couple very important facts. The rest of the world has not participated in the market advance this year. It's been U.S. stocks. So I'm just not a fan of taking 5,000 darts and throwing them and it landing on the VT Total World. Yes, it has a low expense rate. I will give you that. But the returns, you know, it can't even keep up at all with the S&P 500. I see Tesla, too, under a little bit of pressure again today. That's another thing. I was the guy who owns the Ford Lightning all-electric truck. We were talking about the Cybertruck. He said that thing is engineered so that if anything happens to it and you've got to get it fixed, it's very hard to retrofit in there. And I remember, you know, when he first unveiled that, that's one of the most famous scenes of all time when he took a sledgehammer and hit
the window
and it crashed. And I won't tell you what he said at that point in time, but it was not a very good launch. And they continue to have trouble with that Cybertruck, simplifying it, getting an assembly line for it, and selling it. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. To the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, we've got these earnings on tap this week, which are going to really drive the market Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And now let's take a look at some other things that will move the market here. Apple, Chinese e-commerce platform, said to be offering discounts on Apple's latest iPhone. I just don't see the fervor there, I'm sorry. And I don't see much fervor in the stock either right now. Copper drops to 11-month low on weak China demand. You know, we haven't heard a lot from China lately. They've been awfully quiet. They did get mentioned.
Besides rear-ending a ship and a Filipino ship and
yes, they're getting pretty aggressive the South China Sea there. And I think President Biden, in his speech about giving Israel aid, mentioned giving aid also to Taiwan, which kind of made my jaw drop a little bit. What does China think of that? But they continue to have a struggling economy, which may be a blessing in disguise because they don't seem to be rattling their saber too much these days. Bank of America likes Eli Lilly. Right now, well, you know, how can you not like Eli Lilly? I think it's ranked number one or number two overall in the Best Stocks Now app, which this is the week, Barry. We're going to flip the switch to the new app.
With the release, right?
And we have to kind of soft launch the Apple and the Android versions and do a little testing, but at least they'll, you know, we have to wait for their approval, that kind of thing. But it's all, I'm doing the last proofread today. And if you go to the newsletter now, you're seeing new pictures that I'm using, screenshots of the app in there. Okay, let's see what else we've got. MedTech, you know, this is why I don't like Bank of America. Their picks, they're terrible. Boston Scientific, Stryker, Dexcom's better days are behind it. They do like Shockwave, though, and I continue to like Shockwave. Now, I don't know what this has done to Seeking Alpha readership, Barry, but the REITs, which dominate Seeking Alpha's website and dividend
payers. Anything with the word yield in it, right?
Yes. The REITs have been murdered this year. Okay, so you've got the diversified REITs are down 30% so far this year. The office REITs are down 27% so far this year. The infrastructure REITs are down 29%. Even the self-storage REITs, which is, it seems there's a self-storage place on every corner just about. Self-storage, I think they should open them up and let people live in them at some point in time.
You know? Yeah, right.
Self-storage was down 13% this year. Retail REITs are down 14%. Mortgage REITs down 14%. Oh, I know they pay big dividends. But, you know, you've taken a huge slice out of your principal. I think some stocks to look at here. I think this whole China regulations on semiconductors is overdone. And the companies that are basically under the microscope here are saying the same thing, that it's not going to have a big impact on them. The three main ones here would be NVIDIA, which obviously makes the highest tech chip stocks in the world. NVIDIA said it's going to have very little impact on us. Same with AMD, and the same with ASML. They say it's going to have very little impact on them. And those stocks sold off pretty hard over the last couple of weeks on fear that the tightening of the regulations would hurt them. But so far, they're all saying no impact. And Taiwan Semiconductor also had a pretty good week last week after they reported their earnings. The car industry, oh, man, it's brutal. It's tough. You know, when Tesla's having issues, what about the rest of them down the line? Tesla, obviously the most successful car company in the world today, the most profitable, Volkswagen. Now, here's my issue, all right? We had an account come in from a big, big nationwide firm, and there were so many stocks in that account, and I go, why would you own that stock? And one of them was Volkswagen. I said, why would you own a car company, along with a couple of big U.S. car companies, GM and Ford? In today's world, in today's environment, I've always come to the conclusion that's just being diversified to be diversified. Because a lot of times, one of the theories on the market, Barry, and these old-time money managers, I guess, is they look for two or three stocks in every sector, right? Okay, what are the two or three best stocks in the automobile sector? Well, on a relative basis,
right.
Okay.
Well, you may not want to be in that
I don't want to have any exposure.
Right, exactly.
But that's the way they do it, because they want to own two or three. They have an analyst or a team of analysts that covers every single sector. And they have a meeting, and they talk to the head bank analyst. What are your favorite banks right now? And I would say none of the above. I wouldn't own any bank stocks right now. But that's not how it works on Wall Street. They like to spread it around amongst the sectors. And I call that diversifying, just to be diversified. Fisker lowers price. If Tesla's having problems, imagine Fisker way down the line.
Yeah, I mean,
and if Rivian is losing $33,000 on every truck, imagine a Fisker, okay? But somebody owns it, you know? I mean, stocks are there. Somebody has to own them. And, you know, I just, it, that is an uphill battle. Now, the reason Tesla's under a little bit of pressure.
Ford and GM are having enough trouble with it. Do you think Fisker's not going to, you know, it's a tough business in general.
Well, Tesla is, maybe we'll call Tesla the $200 bottom here. It got close to $200 here recently after hitting $300 earlier this year. Problems with the Cybertruck. Not going to come off the line.
Right, and how are you going to get enough volume, right? And basically what, you know, what Elon said, and I guess what they announced a new, but more capital-intensive
that's
budget,
today.
Right, coming up. But,
yeah.
You know, they're in order to make that, you know, and then that goes for any of these cars, right? You've got to have the volume behind it, and if you don't have the, you know, they're making Cybertruck, right, and, you know, they don't have the volume or until they can ramp that up. It's not going to be profitable.
No. Well, one of the new features of the app, I put some built-in screens so you can see what's the best performing stock over the last 10 years and a list. They're ranked in order. And that's, I've got to do some proofreading there. There's a few stocks in there that, you know, aren't active anymore.
Symbol changes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yes,
symbol
okay.
changes. You got certain things that just go away. Twitter wouldn't be in that group, but that would be one that doesn't exist anymore.
Yes. Right? And I do my best to keep on top of the database, right? To keep it clean. But I have a little cleanup to do today. Now, what is the number one stock over the last 10 years? It's Celsius. It's
that's
energy
a great trick question, by the way.
46% per year. You can, and it's up today, 2.6%. We own Celsius. I had a Celsius on Saturday. I personally like Rockstar. That's my brand of choice when I need an energy drink. Celsius Holdings is loved on Wall Street, but the Seeking Alpha ratings are more cautious. Well, I have to be honest. I don't pay a lot of attention to the Seeking Alpha ratings because most of the authors are not, they've never managed
certainly
money.
Not going to be, and they're not going to be in Celsius.
No, and they're going to be in REITs, and they've never written a report for an institution. You know, these are pretty much amateurs. There's no other better way to put it, that are writing research reports on companies and trying to make a case for them.
Well, and it's the yield argument, right?
Yes.
Which is, you know, there's we already know how many fallacies there are to the pure yield argument in the first place. So.
Now, when I wrote my book back in 2013, the number one stock was Priceline over the last 10 years. There's always some company or that are quiet under the radar. So that's a good screen to look at. Look at the top 20 stocks over the last 10 years. How about the last 5 years? How about the last 12 months? And, of course, it updates every single day. You know, those A-plus momentum stocks, we only have 63 out of 5,800 right now. And as far as B-plus or better, a very low number, 157 is all. But at the same time, you've got some good values that are starting to appear on the scene in the market. When we come back, we'll look underneath the surface of the market. This is the Best Stocks Now show. But I must do the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a right place. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I would just have to say that the fog of war and the noise, it's been, 3 weeks now since the invasion there of Israel and the retaliation really, I mean, the major ground war has not begun yet. But I just think that the market is getting a little bit more used to that's just kind of the way things go in the market. You know, it does increase that fear trade with selling in bonds and anything, you know, risk assets. But that's been a big factor here, holding the market back. And then, of course, the other one is the interest rate march by the 10-year to 5%. Has it reached the peak, and will it start to retreat? Well, it is today, at least. We'll continue to watch that. But it's mostly been caused by the selling, the trimming of the Fed's balance sheet. They're selling, and they're issuing new bonds at the same time to fund their debt. There's no other way to put it, to fund their spending and the debt that they have rung up. Okay, so now let's look inside of these indexes today. There's one stock that is the number one performer in all three of the major indexes. It's the top performer in the Dow, it's the top performer in the S&P 500, and it's the top performer in the NASDAQ. One of the most exciting stocks in the entire market, Walgreens, Boots Alliance, right? Which has been hitting new 52-week lows.
I was waiting for which stock that was going to be.
I don't know what the news is, but I'm sure there's some kind of news on Walgreens today, maybe an upgrade. For whatever reason, too, the gambling stocks are really strong today. We're talking MGM, Wins, Penn National.
And Macau's been getting, if you use that as a gauge, has been getting some positive signs in terms of, getting back to, some semblance, I guess, of what they were back in the 2010 heydays, right, of Macau. And so, that could have certainly an impact as well.
I'm just going to look at Walgreens real, because it's up 4% to see if there's any new. Okay, October 20th, they reported earnings, so that must have been on Friday, and this is the reaction to it today. Okay, so Walgreens, and then American Express is up 2%, Pfizer's up 1.5%. On the downside today, the energy stocks, oil is down today. And, of course, you have Chevron making a big purchase. So Chevron is down 2.5% today.
Hess, yeah.
Buying Hess. And Salesforce is down 1.5% today in the Dow. And in the S&P 500, once again, Walgreens is the best performer, up 4.1%. And then it's pretty much the leisure sector, more specifically the gaming sector, which is leading the market today. That's a little bit more risk on, I suppose, right?
And it speaks to, folks talk about a slowdown slowdown in retail purchases, these types of things. And, that's another, that's one end of the spectrum where it's, that means that's usually more disposable income, right? So it's just an interesting dynamic, especially when you're looking at
I'm looking for any kind of individual news on any one of these gaming stocks, and I'm not seeing anything. So there's something under the surface that is driving the buying in this sector. Okay, and then it's not good to see NVIDIA in there having a good day, up to just over 2%. And then another area that was selling off, and it's being bought today, the travel stocks. I think the war thing spilled over into the travel industry. The high oil prices spilled over into the cruise ships and the airlines, but I'm seeing some activity there today. That's a good sign. It's a good sign that some of these beat-up sectors are starting to look alive, finally, after about 3 weeks, really, since the invasion, the unexpected invasion there in southern Israel. And so today you've got Alaska up 2.8%, Caesars up 2.6%. Of course, the gaming stocks would fit in there. Expedia's up 2%. And Booking.com, which I consider to be the best leisure stock out there, is up 1.8%. The basic material stocks, I don't know what's up with FMC. That's kind of a everything stock, basic materials, fertilizer. It's down 13.6% today. I'm going to guess that it's probably it's the biggest loser in the S&P 500. I'm going to guess it's probably an earnings report. Yes, they slashed guidance.
Yes, exactly.
So that's bringing down the fertilizer stocks, Mosaic, Corteva, and Nutrien. And then in the NASDAQ, it's the biggest winner is Walgreens. Okay, so you know that not much. I don't see Amazon. I don't see Microsoft. I don't see Google. It's Walgreens. And then Wynn is up 3.4. NVIDIA is really the only tech stock of note moving today, having a good day. It's up 2.5%, 2.4, somewhere in there. So there you go. I think eventually, I mean, we're going to cut through the fog of war. We're going to get interest rates to calm down, unless there's something unknown out there that takes them above 5 and to 5.25. But I don't see that happening. And so I think that eventually this the focus returns to earnings. Now, tomorrow I'll give you an update on earnings season, how it's gone so far. Today I wanted to focus on who's going to report today, this week. But get ready for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because the big boys are checking in. All right, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, if you're not happy owning 5,000 stocks in an ETF that has every stock in the world in it, I think you can narrow it down a little bit.
Narrow it down just a bit, right?
And if you're not happy being holding a bunch of bond funds that have been crushed or REITs that have been crushed, there's just a better way. I mean, it's a unique market this year like it is every year. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment. We got a lot of people to get back to this week. We got our work cut out for us. We met with a lot of people in Michigan. And if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, see what I had to say last weekend, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.